Welcome to Kinsman Redeemer Ministries, a Christian identity church that believes in the good news that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Germanic, and kindred people are the true Israel of Scriptures. Good morning, I'm Pastor Mark Downey, and today's message is entitled, Don't Cast Your Pearls Before Swine. This subject was prompted earlier this week by a letter that was sent by a pastor that we know to a Judeo-Christian writer named Rod Martin, who writes for Rush Dooney's Chalcedon Report. You may be familiar with his son-in-law, Gary North, who became a false prophet after Y2K. In Rod Martin's article, he is not only demonizing Christian identity, but he's chastising his own people who call themselves Reconstructionists. These are very conservative Calvinist type folks that want to institute God's laws in government. And there's nothing wrong with that. We've talked about these folks before in our Taking Dominion series. But unfortunately, Rod Martin is altogether too politically correct, and his entire article is a diatribe against racism. And so our pastor friend tried to write him a letter and reason with him. And it occurred to me that this is a waste of time, money, and energy. Well, when we read the scripture, don't cast your pearls before swine. Do people really do this? Well, yes, they do it all the time. Let me ask you for a moment to visualize something. And no, I don't mean world peace. Let's visualize in our minds a pigsty. Smelly, filthy, vile, with hogs grunting and snorting in the foul mud. And imagine walking up to this pigsty, and your wife has a lovely pearl necklace around her neck, and you take that necklace and you throw it into the pigsty. Imagine literally casting your pearls before these swine. Can you imagine retrieving that lovely necklace? I'll tell you, I'd rather look for a needle in a haystack than pearls in a pigsty. There's an interesting bit of information about pearls you may not be familiar with. The biology of a pearl is formed when a foreign particle, like a little bit of sand, penetrates the mantle. The mantle is the soft body tissue of the oyster itself. And what begins is the shell building cells that attach to the particle of sand and builds up concentric layers of pearl, otherwise known as calcium carbonate. And it works itself around the invading material. Well, this constant agitation develops into a hard, lustrous sphere, which is highly prized for its iridescence. It is an inorganic mass. In other words, it's a type of mineral formed in a living organic body, the oyster. And it's one of the most ancient symbols of perfection. The world's most superior species is found in the Persian Gulf. The nature of a pearl's life, growing into perfection through a process of constant agitation, is kind of like the maturing Christian. Constantly being irritated with trials and tribulations, Which is good, actually, because Romans 5:3 tells us we glory in tribulation. In fact, we are perfected in Christ when we process, isolate, arrest, and neutralize all the temptations and sins that are in the world. Now, alien small g gods and their foreign practices have little influence or detriment to our body, mind, and spirit. Because all of these negative elements put in their place accumulate kind of like in a ball of captivity, just like the pearl, that becomes a positive symbol of conquering adversity. We cannot overcome without friction. Matthew 15:11 says, "Not that which goes into the mouth defileth a man, but that which comes out of the mouth that defiles." In other words, it's not what you consume and process, because we eat substance for nutrition, and the body gets rid of the waste naturally. And it's the same with ideas and doctrines. What Jesus is saying here is what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. To vocally reject everything you don't like in your life is to deny, really, the omnipotence of God. That He controls the good and the evil, the light and the darkness, according to Isaiah 45:7. So, tribulation works patience to understand His plan and to know His glory, like the beauty of how a pearl is formed. Let's look at another aspect of pearls in Matthew 13. As Israel is a hidden treasure, as it states in verse 44. But as we read the next verse, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking the goodly pearls." Now, the merchantman here is Christ. And it speaks of pearls in the plural. So, in other words, it is the church which is these goodly pearls, the called out ones, plural. As we read in Exodus 19:5, "Israel shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the races." And we read in Revelation 18:12, "Even the merchants realize the high value of pearls." And it ranked number 4, just behind gold, silver, and gemstones. But back to Matthew 13, in verse 46, Israel is the one pearl of great price. Christ, in other words, was selling all He had on the cross to redeem His people. Non-Israelites cannot be redeemed. Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 24, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And the context is in verse 26, where He said, "It's not meet," or "it's not fair, to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." In Revelation 21:21, the 12 gates of New Jerusalem were 12 pearls. And it's explained in verse 12 as the 12 tribes of Israel. This sermon is addressed to the true Israel people, the white race, the pearl of great price, that has responded to the voice of the great shepherd. It is the white race that has advanced Christianity for the last 2,000 years. Let me clear up a damnable heresy in Judeo-Christianity that people like Rod Martin are more than happy to confuse you with, that has caused many to cast their pearls before swine. And that is Galatians 3:28, where we read, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." But let me tell you something, all races are not one. And it's talking about Judahites in Israel and Israelites in Greece, who were racially brethren. And certainly we're not going to say that male and female are one and the same. That's ridiculous. The whole Bible is geared to one race, which is why Paul addressed his brethren as my kinsmen, according to the flesh, according to their skin color, their race, who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption, the glory, and glory here could be likened to the pearl, the glorious pearl, the covenants, the law, the service of God, and the promises, Romans 9, 3, and 4. Well, back to Matthew 7, 6. "Give not that which is holy to the dogs." Here, holy means racial purity. And we just read in Matthew 15 that this dog was identified as a non-Israelite. And it tells us why we shouldn't cast pearls before swine. Because they will trash and bury them, the pearls, making it very difficult to retrieve them. They'll turn on you and rend you. What does rend mean? Well, it means to hurt you, to break you, to wreck you, or to disrupt you. Isn't that something to look forward to? The Great Commission was accomplished by the apostles in the first century to the Israelites dispersed from the Assyrian captivity and who migrated west to the Mediterranean region and later to the European nations, becoming Western Christian civilization. Now, the gross corruption of a Judaized Christian church is typified in the last 100 years of so-called missionary outreach to the heathen nations, and in fact is acting contrary to the will of God. The Great Commission was accomplished in the first century. But now, with this misbegotten, misguided attempt to convert the heathen, we have political and military and economic exploitations, as well as intrigue amongst foreigners and the stranger in our midst, which is the antithesis of spreading the Gospels throughout the world. It's been a dismal failure in Rwanda, the African country who for decades missionaries poured millions of dollars in schools and in food. And as soon as a civil war broke out between the Tutsis and the Tsis or whatever they were called, and bloodlust of millions of Africans killing each other, we see what a dismal failure it had become. Because the white man had cast their pearls before swine. Actually, they've got it backwards. Isaiah 2:2 says, all nations shall flow unto it. And I think it is America. I think this is the Armageddon. And that doesn't mean a battle in the Middle East somewhere. That word simply means the regathering of the tribes of Israel. And I believe that rendezvous where all factions of the white race have merged, have regathered right here in America, and all nations shall flow unto it in the last days. And we certainly see not only our own kinsmen that have come to America, because this is the land of plenty, the promised land, and some of these other races want to get in on the action, but they don't want to have anything to do with Christianity. Well, it says, they shall flow unto this nation in the last days, where we will teach the heathen God's law. And once that's accomplished, Joel 3:17 tells us, there shall no stranger pass through Israel anymore. That sounds like a plan to me. And I don't think that's the kinsman stranger. I think that could be the racial alien just as well. There has been so much casting pearls before our swine. Much as ancient Israel allowed heathen into the temple to brag about all their treasures, to view their gold and silver. And of course, they turned and rended or pillaged the stupid Israelites for showing off and ignoring God's commands. And history repeats itself when its lessons are not learned, so that the warning of Amos 8:11 is not too far off. Quote, behold, the days come that God will send a famine in the land, not of bread or thirst, but of hearing the word of God. End quote. Eventually, there won't be any pearls, except those reserved for the remnant. And I believe that remnant is called Christian identity. And it's that remnant that should be cognizant of their pearls, or the things of value, the things God has given us that are of worth. And, you know, that could be anything from the material blessings that God has given us in the covenants to the spiritual blessings. Anything from money, hard cash, which the Lord can provide, to virtues, to behavior. In other words, anything from the tangible to the intangible, the visible to the invisible. We certainly shouldn't be throwing the fruit of our labor, the sweat of our brow, away to evil ends or unfruitful works. The pearls of virtue could be the following: truth, wisdom, prayers, faith, good works, righteousness, patriotism, chivalry, courtesy, patience, charity, and it can be your time. Okay, let's further identify the vices of the swine, because that's what we do in Christian identity. We identify things. And those that fall into the category of the swine could be Antichrist, those who reject Jesus Christ, like Jews, heathen, most of your non-whites throughout the world, pagans, such as Wicca or New Agers, atheists, and let's not forget wolves, those false teachers, false prophets, false brethren, reprobates, all these pervert homosexuals, pedophiles, transgenders, you name them, they're out there. They parade down Main Street in every major city. Satanist, murderers, rapists, thieves, carpetbaggers, scallywags, and traitors. If you cast any of the aforementioned virtues to any of these vices, the Bible says you will be rended, which you have already been informed that rend means you will be hurt, broken. Your life will be wrecked and disrupted. Now for some examples of this subject and instruction in righteousness for reproof and correction. Let me tell you a little story. Several years ago, I ran for the state legislature and wasn't getting equal media attention as the other candidates were. And so a local Judeo-Christian radio station put it upon himself to invite me to his studio, I thought, to find out what I believed in politically. And I was running as a Christian candidate, but he also knew that I was Christian identity. And it turned out that he had his questions already prearranged to trip me up. And so, thinking I was going there to give him a few pearls of wisdom, I was ambushed. And ambushed with some of the most difficult theological questions that could be hurled at you. He did this in order to make me sound foolish. But in hindsight, I think I handled myself rather well. In fact, I think I frustrated him. But I learned a valuable lesson that, as the Bible says, woe unto ye scribes, it's talking about these modern day media whores just as well. That you have to be careful when dealing with people that say they want the truth. And believe me, I've been interviewed many times by people in the media putting on this face that they'll deal with you objectively. Well, as it usually turns out with people like us, is that they look for the weakest link in the chain. And then they demonize you with that weakest statement that you've made. It's a common technique. We can also see casting pearls before swine with our own body, which is the temple of God. And so many of our people throw their pearls, this temple of God, before the AMA quacks and get vaccinated and take prescription drugs, and they have more faith in medical plans and hospitals than they do the great physician, the healer that were promised in the Word. Let me tell you something. Your faith better be pretty strong if you walk into a hospital these days, because they will rend you with disease, sickness, or death. And certainly if you've been in any of their cafeterias, malnutrition, gastronomical pain, or even epidemics. But the worst of all that'll really make you sick is the big fat bill that they'll send you. Years ago, there was a TV show called Strange Universe. And it had all the bizarre things of the New Age. And, you know, I got to thinking after I watched this a couple of times, God doesn't want us experiencing all the ethnic diversity of the world. we should not give our attention to it. But you know, we have the kosher conservatives like Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly. You know, when they first come on, gee, they seem to sound like the great white hope. But then, you see, they lead us down the primrose path, and they become worse than the liberals in destroying our country by casting their support to anti-American elements, like foreign aid to anti-Christian communists, to anti-Christ nations like Israeli, to lending financial support to NAFTA and GATT and most favored nation status for China. And these are Christian conservatives? Moderates or centrist will cast their pearls to whichever way the wind blows. But you know, ancient Israel went whoring after strange gods also, and were rended with captivity in Assyria. We also witnessed the Tower of Babel, which was nothing more than a kind of a communal pearl-tossing party who wanted autonomy for democracy. Well, it sounds nice, but it was nothing more than mob rule. And so God confounded their language. And you know, all rending really comes from God. It's called chastisement, divine judgment. We can really see this in South Africa, where white people gave up their nation to savages. And now crime is out of control. It's the murder capital of the world. The United Nations is taking our posterity, our wealth, our land, and giving back to us oppression and bigger bills, getting ever closer to their one world government. People keep casting their pearls, their votes, for swine republicrats. And boy, do they rend you. Just ask Congressman James Traficant. And there's one maverick for you that is not lukewarm. And his colleagues in the House of Representatives know that. He's not a game player. He'll stand up for what's right. And so Traficant has got to go. He doesn't cast his pearls like all the other elected swine. So how do we biblically respond to critics of Christian identity, like Christian Research Institute, or this Rod Martin that I mentioned in the beginning, or even the ADL, or the Simon Wiesenthal Center, or Morris Dees, or even pipsqueak swine like Northwest Agent Provocateurs Bill Wasmuth of the Northwest Coalition Against Malicious Harassment. That's it. That's one of those long, convoluted titles. As well as another pipsqueak swine, John Mazzocchi, Coalition for Human Dignity. Well, there's nothing dignified about swine. Responding to this type of vermin is what this message is all about. And it's my Christian duty to admonish them twice, not once, but twice, according to Titus 3:10, correcting their false interpretations and disinformation and misrepresentations about us. And then warn them through our rules of engagement in Ezekiel 3 18 through 20. And they can read that for themselves if they're listening to this on the internet. We therefore cast rebuke and exhortation, not pearls, to these heretics. This does not necessarily pertain to our friends and relatives. And that's a sermon in itself, which I've talked about in the past, where we do love thy neighbor and we honor our mother and father. But we should observe Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And that's all I was attempting to do with this pastor that we know that wrote the letter to the Judeo-Christian. In verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Skipping down to verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I like the parable of the sower of the good seed, which represents the Gospels. And that good news is the identity message, that true Israel is the white race. And as we read Matthew 13, starting in verse 3, of this sower of seeds, he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. We want good ground to reap. We want to harvest good Christians for the kingdom. And remember, in verse 39 of Matthew 13, it says that the enemy that sowed them is the devil. All these things that are not fruitful. And that the harvest, or what we reap, is the end of the world. In other words, the world system run by swine. And the reapers are the angels, not fluttery winged spiritual beings from outer space, but here, angels simply means messengers of God, like the message I'm bringing you today, where the reapers also get the tares, the weeds amongst the wheat, or the swine impersonating true Israel. We know who that is. Those who are getting the pearls cast to them in the form of the lion's share of foreign aid so that they can kill innocent women and children in Palestine. And they are the ones that are going to be gathered out of the kingdom, and we cast them into a furnace of fire. Now, on that warm and fuzzy note, let us conclude in prayer. Hail Jesus the Christ, praying our Arian benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, the white race, and I will bless them. Amen.